to again express my appreciation for your being here this morning and appreciate your desire to worship with us very, very much. It's always good to get together, and so my appreciation to you for your desire to assemble together for worship on this Lord's Day. There is an outline in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Very welcome to do that. I ask my brethren to kind of look around. If you see someone without one, please share. You are so willing to do that. The title of the lesson comes from the text that was read to us this morning. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul gives the admonition or the exhortation to Timothy, "Be thou an example of the believers." Timothy, lead the way. Timothy, as I've instructed others to do, I want you to do that, but kind of be the front runner. Kind of show others how what Christianity looks like. Could you do that? And he mentioned several ways in which to do that. When you think of an example, I put by definition, primarily something or a specimen. We think of it as a writing copy or something to trace, something to emulate, imitate, a sample. Think of an example as something that we look at that we want to copy. So Paul says, Timothy, there's something about Christianity that I want you to live so that others may see. And when they see this in you, I want them to have that desire, that attitude. I want them to copy what they see in you. It's a pattern. Then put this verse in your notes. But in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, Paul said, "I have showed you all things." I've shown you. In other words, Paul said, I'm the example. What you saw in me, Paul is saying, that's what I want you to do. So Paul says, I showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. Paul said, you see what I did? I want you to do that. Paul set himself up as the example. Something that serves as a pattern. I think two examples, you can have a bad example too. You know, sometimes you see what somebody might say. You see how Dennis is acting. Don't do that. Don't copy that. But only all the good stuff. That's what he wants you to see and do. I put your notes just by way of introduction that God's an example. God's an example. In Ephesians 5 verse 1, be imitators of God as dear children. He tells us how to do that, by walking in love. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 18, no man has seen God at any time. But the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. If you want to see God, you look at the Son. That's what Jesus says. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So the way that even Jesus presented himself, says, copy that. And that's what Paul says, or the Bible says, be imitators of God. How? Walking in love. Also put that Jesus is our example. And that's in the text. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21. For hereunto were you called, that's us too. We were called because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So you want to know, how should I live as a Christian? How should I conduct myself? The moment we look to God, we look to Jesus. They set the pattern. Copy that. Copy that. But also, we see that we are examples too.
And the Beatles copy.
In First Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Be thou, that's in our text, that's our lesson text. Be thou an example of the believers. Be an example. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And all, they follow me, but especially when I'm exhibiting the qualities of God and of His Son, Christ Jesus. Imitate that. And that's a challenge again for all of us. And so Paul is now telling Timothy, oh, Timothy, lead the way. Be an example, and I put in these seven areas for our lesson this morning. Number one, Timothy, be an example in word. In word. In your speech. Two ways I put in your notes. Number one, just in the language that we use. Everyday language. The way in which we use it. There's other Bible admonitions that encourage us in this area. Matthew 12, verse 36, Jesus himself said, I say unto you, that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Wow, we need to lead the way in speech. Ephesians 4, verse 29, let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying or building up or encouraging, that it may minister grace to the hearers. So Paul is encouraging Timothy, be the leader in the words that you say, the contents of your speech. That let your speech encourage one another, build up each other. Timothy, do that. In verse 31 of Ephesians chapter 4, he said, he puts the negative side. Don't let bitterness or wrath or anger or clamor or evil speaking or malice be part of it. See, our vocabulary is an identifying mark of Christianity. Don't let your speech betray you. By the way that you speak, it will let others know to whom you belong. Your speech will be different than the course of the world. The world will notice your speech. It will identify you with Christ. It will be obvious. Some people may, even when they're around you, they may even ask for your apology. Oh, pardon me, because they know you don't talk like that. An identifying mark of Christianity is your speech. Another way that Paul tells Timothy to be the example in speech is when he preaches. It's in his second letter to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, he's to preach the word. Preach the word. The word that Paul preached and the word that Paul wrote. That's the message that Timothy is to preach. The message of inspiration that the apostles preached and none other. Paul is giving Timothy warning, there will be people that will go after the message of others. And Paul says, Timothy, don't do that. You lead the way. You be the example. He's saying, Timothy, do you see what these others are doing? Don't do that. That's the warning. That's the encouragement. Timothy, be thou an example. Preach the word. He says in 2 Timothy 4, verse 2, be instant. In season, out of season. He says, by using that word, by the word of God, you reprove, you rebuke. You rebuke? Yeah. Because not everyone's going to listen to the word of God. You exhort with all long suffering. You stay with it. Exhort with long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. That's not good. It's not a compliment to someone when they say, oh, well, I've left the word and I've gone my own way now. Paul tells Timothy again in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words or sound doctrine. Timothy, be an example in word, not just your casual manner of speech, but in what you preach and what you teach. Number two is in conduct. In conduct. Timothy was to, as we sometimes say, some slogans or mottos, we say, you'll practice what you preach. That's right. That's what we want. Sometimes we might say, you'll walk your talk. No, that's what I'm supposed to do. And all of us. I've heard somebody say, too, you know, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. I don't even get that. Sometimes you have to hear a sermon, too. I want to see it if there's times that we need to hear it. Paul again tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, these things write I unto you. Again, the word of inspiration, the word of the Bible. I'm writing these things that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. So the instructions of the word and the lives of the apostles, they furnish us an example for our behavior as Christians in conduct. Timothy, lead the way in word, in conduct. Number three, in love. In love. Love is a great motivator for acting properly. If I have my love, meaning your best interest in mind, I'll try to carry myself correctly. Because in love, I'm going to look out for you. In love, my attitude is, what do you need? How can I help you? In love, again, which means looking out for the best interest of others, how can I lift you up? What can I do to be a source of encouragement for you? And Paul tells Timothy, I want you to be an example in love. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. A second is likened unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. Love. Jesus said in John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So now we know what love it looks like. When Paul tells Timothy, you lead the way in love. Oh, the pattern, the sample, the example. Oh, as God loved and as Jesus loved, and Paul set himself up, follow me as I follow Christ. I know what love looks like. It says also number four, in spirit. Be an example in spirit. We need to exemplify the fruit of the Spirit that's found in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. We know what a Spirit-filled life looks like. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear or a characteristic of fear, but one of power, meaning that we have the ability to overcome the troubles and trials and temptations of life. Lead the way in that. And in love toward people and sound mind. Lead the way. Not only in word and in conduct and in love and in spirit, but also in faith. Hold on to that which is good. Be steadfast. Don't doubt the word of God. Be reliable. Be dependable. Lead the way in faith. Faith has reference in this context to Timothy's faithfulness and trustworthiness as an example. Timothy, lead the way. In Titus chapter 2, verse 10, Paul tells Titus, similar message to Timothy, showing all good fidelity, fidelity, faithfulness, trustworthiness, dependableness, showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn our Savior in all things. In other words, Timothy and Titus, you be the one that, be the front runner. Be what you're supposed to be because there's other people watching. And they're going to copy what you do. They're going to imitate your speech. exhortation, be the example in all these things, and it comes down to us too, in all of these areas. The last one, or number six, is impurity. Impurity. Live a disciplined life. A life that's self-control. A life that's well-behaved. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. It says, "For you know what commandments we gave to you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor." We need to know how to live our life successfully as Christians. Paul is admonishing Timothy again to lead the way. For us to copy that. Copy that. Number seven, the last one. Said in verse 1 this morning, "Till I come, give attendance to reading," meaning the Word of God, the Bible. That needs to have priority in your life and mine. Read the Word of God. You cannot go wrong. There are so many other books that you can read in life. But there's only one book that will take you from here to eternal life, and that's the Word of God. Not any other man's or woman's commentary or thought or what they think best or anything else. There's one book that stands alone. One. And that's the Word of God. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy. You lead the way in giving attendance, attention, priority, effort to the Word of God. To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. I think it makes a difference what you believe religiously. It makes a difference. Paul tells Timothy, don't forsake that, the doctrine. Even in the revelation of Jesus to John to the churches, Revelation 1 verse 3, I didn't put that in your notes. Revelation 1 verse 3. "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things that are written therein." There's a blessing not only for those who read, but and for those who hear. That's what you're doing now. You're hearing this lesson from me. But then you have to keep. Keep the things that are written in the Word of God. More than you keep the things that are written in any other book. Keep the things that are written in the Word of God. So he says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 16, I put this in your notes. "Take heed to thyself, Timothy. Take heed. And unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." When I preach to you, don't ever let me preach anything other than the Word of God. Like Timothy, when that is accomplished, I save both myself and you that hear and keep the things that are written in the Word of God. Read it again. "Take heed to yourself, Timothy, and to the doctrine." The doctrine, that's right. There's something specific to believe. "Continue in them. And in doing that," don't you want salvation? Timothy, "in doing that you save both thyself and them that hear you." That's the lesson. Be an example of the believers. Of the believers. Always at the close of a lesson we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation. An invitation to become a Christian. While we're gathered here, there may be someone here this morning that's not a member of the New Testament Church. You're not a Christian. Meaning you've never been baptized for remission of sins. And so we have a simple plan or formula, or steps, if you will, a recipe. Once you you have heard the word of God, that good news message. And second, you believe it. You believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And number three, then you want to repent. You want to change your life and live a godly life. And then number four, you want to confess your faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. And when those four things are in place, number five, you can be baptized for remission of sins. And as Paul said in Romans chapter 6, then you rise to walk in newness of life. And from that point on, you get to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation we extend. There may be one here this morning or more that would like to do that, to be baptized, or to ask brethren for strength or encouragement. And we can accomplish that. You simply need to let your resolve or your desire to be known. So we sing a song to give you time to think about that. While we're singing this song, if you want to respond in a public way, just come and have a seat beside me. At the close of the song, I'll simply ask you a question. What's on your mind? And you say, Brian, I want to be baptized for remission of sins. Or Brian, I want the prayer of the congregation. And then we can answer that. We can honor that request. So you're subject to that invitation. Please come. Let's stand as we sing this song.